and you alone is our hope this morning. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. Heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we can stand in your power this morning, Lord, in your saving grace this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lazarus.
Just standing there worshiping the Lord, I was just caught up in his presence. Amen. What a place to be is in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I just think that this is a wonderful time for us all to be together, and that God is honored at us acknowledging what he did at the cross. Is my guitar coming through okay? You know, this is a triumphant day that Jesus went to the cross for you and I. But I can hardly wait for Sunday. Amen? Hallelujah. It's going to be a great day. This is a wonderful time. You know, Betty and I, when we woke up this morning, I said to Betty, you know, this is the day that we come together to commemorate and to honor what Jesus did for us. You know, it's something that, this is not just another church service. This is a time that we say, thank you, Jesus, because he came and died for our sins. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there? Guilty with nothing to say, and they were coming to take me away, but then a voice from heaven was heard that said, let them go. Should have hung on that cross in disgrace, but Jesus, God's Son, took my place. Thank you, Jesus. Crown of thorns, the spear deep in his side, and the pain. Pain that should have been mine. Those rusty nails were meant for me. Yet Christ took them and he let me go free. And I should have been crucified. Should have hung on the cross in disgrace, but Jesus, God's Son, took my place. If that is then the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love, and I should.
Jesus took our place. Amen. What a gift. What a blessing. Something that we can receive. Doesn't withhold it from anybody. Amen. I was thinking that as we come to the communion time now and as we partake of the emblems today, and the communion is open. If you are born again, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, then doesn't matter if you belong to this church or another church, if you believe in him, you're welcome to partake of the emblems. But if you know not Jesus Christ, we would just ask that you would let them slip by, unless, of course, right now, you call upon him as your Lord and Savior. He would love to do that for you on this wonderful Good Friday day. You know, I was thinking and I was reading in my Bible this week in the book of Job, and if you know anything about the book of Job, it's really interesting because here's three friends of Job. He was going through all the torment of life and the trials and the tribulations, something like sometimes you and I go through. And friends came alongside of him, so-called friends, I would say. And they began to enhance his suffering in some ways that perhaps wasn't the greatest for him. I always believe that when somebody's suffering in the church, you should come alongside them. We don't understand what they face. But we as Christians, we should come alongside somebody and build them up and encourage them and keep them going in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as I look at some of these guys, and I was reading this one interesting comment. There was a guy by the name of Bildad, and he responded to Job and all that Job was saying. And he said some things that were kind of off base, but yet he hit the nail on the head as well. Bildad responded to Job in a statement like this, that God was so pure that he can really have nothing to do with man. And I thought that was right. And then he said, man is but a maggot. Wow. That's a good comment to pass along while somebody's suffering. And then he goes on to say, humans really are like worms. That's interesting. And it brought my mind to a famous song that we sing, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. And I don't think Bildad was too far off. And what he said was maybe a little off base, but sure, we are a fallen race. We are a fallen race for sure. But thank God that Jesus intervened and allowed us to come back to the very grace of God. You know, man is fallen. Man is in a sinful state. And we are like worms, I guess, or maggots. But God allowed us to be made in his image. And God's grace reaches down to transform worms and maggots into God's image. So thank God. You know, I believe that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Amen. That whoever believes in him, that's his Son Jesus, would not perish but have everlasting life. What a promise. What a blessing. You know, to think of that, that we are sinners, but sinners saved by the grace of God. And so we love the Most High God that he was willing to die for our sakes. It says in the book of Luke, when the hour had come, he sat down with the 12 apostles. Isn't that nice that Jesus sits down with us? Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it. In other words, it's the last time that he would eat of it with his disciples. Until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. I can hardly wait for that day to sit with Jesus at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Wow. Isn't that wonderful that in all the imagery and the painting of Jesus to this very moment that he told the disciples that I'm going to the cross, lay down my life, give it as a free will offering for you to have salvation, which is shed for you, his blood, his broken body. Let's pray. Father, as we come to this very unique time in the service, where we just come to the table of remembrance, and God, we are honoring you in this moment of drawing back to that very moment we called upon you as our Lord and Savior. From that moment on, Lord, we want to honor you, and we have done so. Perhaps we've slipped and fallen. Perhaps we've done things that weren't pleasing at times. But God, thank you, Lord, that we can keep coming back to you, because if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So thank you, Lord God, that why we come to this table, it's a table of remembrance. We remember what you have done for us. We remember how you gave your life just for us. We remember how that blood was shed just for us. We remember how that body was broken just for us. So we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And we don't take this moment lightly, but God, as these emblems are distributed, I know that they are only significant, and they represent the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that this is a meaningful, deep time. So I pray over every person as we receive these emblems this morning, that God, we would hold them and search inward and say, God, if I've offended you in any way, search my heart. And let me in this moment make sure that I'm close to you, that blood that it did in my first initial moment of salvation is still the blood that cleanses me from every sin. And I thank you, Lord God, for this moment. And I praise you, and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. As the emblems are distributed, I just ask that you would hold them, and we'll partake of them together at the end of the distribution. So if my board members would come forward, please, this morning. And Betty, if you could help me out as well. Thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What can wash us? What can wash us? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's partake of the bread together. Thank you, Lord. The same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till I come." Let's partake of the cup together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can we sing that just one more time? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
What can wash away our sins? What can make us whole?
Hallelujah.
Again?
Hallelujah.
Nothing but your blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
What can wash us pure as snow?
Hallelujah.
King
Jesus. I like that. King Jesus. Amen. Crown him Lord of all of our lives. Hallelujah. What a treat it is for us as two churches together. And I'm very honored to have a good friend of mine, Pastor Steve from Long Sioux, to bring the word. We were talking before the service that last year, we were both really down health-wise. I had had the flu for about 3 or 4 days ahead of time. I think on Good Friday, I might have had some burnt toast and some little bit of ginger ale that morning, and I was there, but I wasn't, if you know what I mean. And this guy got back. You had a voice. Yeah.
I just got a man's voice.
So I'm glad that two of us are healthy this year. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you, brother.
Well, I want to let you know it's Friday, but Sundays are coming. I said it's Friday, but Sundays are coming. We got a few people here that's probably Pentecostal. I'm going to be, for you that know me, I read many verses from Scripture. So, but I want you to stand with me. I remember when Pastor Art Brand was here, he didn't have his glasses. Well, I always bring mine just in case. We're going to open in prayer, and then I want you to remain standing. I'm only going to read one verse, because if I keep you standing, I read many verses. But the main verse I'm going to ask you to stay standing with me. So, Father, this morning, it is indeed a privilege to be able to gather in a setting like this and to remember what took place so many years ago. We just did it, "This do in remembrance of me." So, Father, we remember this morning what took place on Calvary, and we rejoice because of it, because it is indeed a Good Friday, because we realize that it's Friday, but Sunday is a-coming. So, Father, I pray that you would minister, and I pray you'll take these lips of clay. We realize that your word is already anointed, so we pray for your servant this morning. I pray that as I stand, Lord, I will stand in your strength, and I will speak your word in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Remain standing. I'm reading one verse, and then you may be seated. It's found in John's Gospel, chapter 19. Of course, we're going to be speaking about the crucifixion. I'm preaching on a cry of victory. A cry of victory. John 19, the 30th verse, it says this. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." I need to do it again because the other text says when Jesus had received, he cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." And it says, and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. You may be seated. I spoke Wednesday night and I told that Bible study, and I said, I'm going to do the same. I'm going to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. 2 years ago, I believe it was, I don't even know when it was. It was some time ago I preached here. And I preached on the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. And I started out with it was May 13th, 2013. It was 4-1 with 10 minutes left in the third period of Game 7. Don't cry, some of you. It just might happen again. The winning team, with 10 minutes left, watched as their playoff dreams came crashing to a halt as the Boston Bruins beat the Toronto Maple Leafs in overtime, 5-4, and bye-bye, Toronto. I don't know if it's going to happen again, but oh, the agony of defeat. The agony of defeat. But I'm not going to speak about the agony of defeat this morning. I'm speaking on a cry of victory. I read a book some time ago. Here it is. Cries from the Cross by Erwin Lutzer. And it's interesting that he spoke about the cries of Jesus from the cross. And, of course, a cry of victory. Now, I enjoy sports. I'm not so much I am a participant, yes. I sit on the sofa and I watch it. But look at this physique. Boy, you can tell I've played lots of sports, right? I weightlift. I lift the fork to my mouth, and left arm is really strong because that's where I do all the lifting. But when a cry of victory, when you watch sports, right, there's the fist pump, Mario Lemieux, you know, the commercial you see where Mario, when he scored, it was the fist pump. Yeah. Then, of course, there's the i5s, and, of course, now it's I do that with the kids in King's Kid. We just fist pump each other. And then, of course, when it's all said and done, there's the drinking from the cup, the celebration. The Stanley Cup. Sorry, Toronto fans. Not this year. But, hey, I can't make much fun because my team is probably not going to drink it either. Harry, don't you laugh either. Neither were yours. But a cry of victory. Let me just mention the cries from the cross that Lutzer says. And they are in Scripture. Cry number one, a cry of pardon. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Luke 23 and 34. Cry number two, a cry of assurance. Today you will be with me in paradise. Luke 23 and 43. Cry three, a cry of compassion. Dear woman, here is your son. Here is your mother, saying to John. John 19, 26 and 27. Cry four, a cry of anguish. My God, why have you forsaken me? Matthew 27, 46. Isn't it interesting, too, that when Jesus is speaking, you notice he says, Father, Father, Father. But at this point, he says, God. He doesn't cry out, Father. He says, My God. Why have you forsaken me? Interesting. Cry five, a cry of suffering. I am thirsty. John 19, 28. Cry six, a cry of victory. It is finished. John 19 and 30. And then the last cry, cry 7, a cry of submission. Father, back to Father again. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Luke 23 and 46. But Jesus said, it is finished. I asked you this morning, when he cried out, it is finished, what was he saying? What was finished? What was finished? John 16 and 20, Jesus speaking says this, most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, but you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy, because Jesus knew it was Friday, but Sunday was a coming. I say it that way because it was a black preacher that said it, right? It's Friday, but Sunday's a coming. If you haven't heard that, oh, it's a beautiful thing. But before I attempt to answer that question, what was finished, we need to go back to a battle that was raging just a little bit of time. Actually, you would say last night. It was last night, if it were in this time frame. Turn with me to Matthew 26 and verse 36. It's here that everything hung. It was hinged on this situation, this circumstance, this where Jesus had to do something. We could not get it is finished until we come here. And verse 36, it says this. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. Gethsemane, olive press. Interesting, we've been there. I know, Pastor Russ, you've been there too. It's interesting. And it's there that the olives are crushed and made into oil. Interesting that the King of Kings was in the olive press. Not only was he in the olive press, think of that word press, and we get the word pressure. I want to continue reading. And it says, he said to them, to the disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, listen to the pressure and the Mount of Olives and Gethsemane. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Mark 14 and 34 records the same thing. Think of the pressure. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and watch. Luke 22 and 42. Think of the pressure again. Father, Father, if it is willing, can you take this cup from me? Yet not my will, but yours be done. It was there in Gethsemane that part of the battle was won, because Jesus had experienced the pressure. Now, what was he experiencing? Was he experiencing the fact that he was going to die? That was not where the greatest pressure was. Let me read again from another one. It says from Luke 22 and 44, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Do you realize that is possible? There's a condition called hematidrosis, and it's a condition in which the tiny blood vessels in the sweat glands rupture under great emotional duress and produce a mixture of sweat and blood. So he was under such great pressure and stress that when he started to pray and started to sweat, it was blood mixed with it. Because he knew, he didn't know, rely, it wasn't the fact that he was just going to die. He talked about the cup. The cup wasn't death. He was going to die. The cup was the fact that he was going to endure the wrath of God for all of our sins. And he realized, can't we do it another way? But he said, the human side of him is saying, this is too much. And he said, but yet not my will, but yours be done. Matter of fact, the scripture says he prayed it 3 times. Because it was under such stress. And he came back to the disciples and they were snoozing it up. Just like many people in the church, snoozing it up. But interesting indeed. And Luke records this. And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Jesus was under such great pressure. In the olive press, Gethsemane, when he was being squeezed, and out came blood. Let me read from Matthew, one of Jesus' interesting. We know the story, because it was the night in which Jesus was betrayed. He took bread, and after he had given thanks, he did this. He instituted the Lord's Supper. Then they sang Psalm 118, one of the Psalms, and they went out into the garden. And that's when we witnessed what took place. And then it was, then Judas came and with a kiss betrayed his Lord. We pick it up in Matthew 26, verse 51 says this, one of Jesus' companions, we know what that was, the guy that always did things very quickly. He reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. That was Peter. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father? And he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? 72,000 angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? Peter was missing the point. Jesus had said it many times, you know, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be killed. And Peter was the one who said, never, Lord, let it be so. It won't happen. And that's what Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter, you don't know what you're saying. So he said, I could call 72,000. Now, you could have called more, but I could call legions of angels to come and rescue me. And then John says, for the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, for I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. So, in case you don't know, The Romans didn't kill Jesus. It was his choice because he could have prevented it. But it was decided before you were born, before even humanity was born, back in heaven's courts. And Jesus said, I will go and be the sacrifice. But back to the passage. When he had received the drink, the darkest moment was when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was dark. It was dark. It was dark. Because it was 12 at noon, and from 12 to 3, it was dark. Not only was it dark for us, but it was literally dark. And it was then that Jesus cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was then that he was experiencing the wrath of Almighty God upon us as sinners. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. Amen? Amen. So it is finished. What was finished? Hell was having a party. Jesus had died. And matter of fact, he even said, it is finished. But I want to let you know he didn't say, I am finished. He didn't say, I am doomed. Which would happen sometimes if we're to die. It is finished. It wasn't a whimper of defeat. And neither was it a cry of exhaustion. But it was the roar of a lion. When he said, it is finished. If you watch a television program when a lion roars, it was a roar of a lion. A roar of victory. Interesting. Because the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, says he said it in a loud voice. Now, he'd been on the cross for 6 hours. He had been flogged, and he was next to death. And when you're next to death, I've seen a few people die, and they haven't shouted. You could just barely hear them when they say their last words. And you put your ear down, but sometimes you say, what did you say? And they don't have strength. Their lips are just moving, and you don't know what they said. But Jesus, when he just before he drew his last breath, he shouted. I think he wanted to let the world know that it was finished. It wasn't just a little whisper, but it was shout, it is finished. Now, what was finished? I'm going to tell you three things that was finished. Number one, suffering was finished. He was rejected in his hometown, this Jesus, but that is now finished. He was betrayed by a close friend, but it's finished. He was deserted by his closest friends, but now it's finished. You realize that in the scriptures, it talks about Jesus was flogged. And if you watch some of the movies, much as, what is the Passion of the Christ, I believe, that Mel Gibson one, they see a lot of where Jesus was flogged. But in scripture, one verse is given to that. Each gospel gives one verse. Matthew 27 and 26 says, after he had Jesus flogged, talking about Pilate and handing him over to be crucified. Mark 15, 15, Luke 23, 22, John 19 and 1. One verse. What's interesting about flogging, it was life-threatening. Have you watched that movie? They had those, the whip, and with string leather and on the handle and metal and bones in the end. And when it hit that skin, it ripped it apart. And they beat Jesus almost to death. Matter of fact, sometimes it led to death. Pilate was hoping that that would do the job and that they would let him go then. But it wasn't. But I want to let you know that the flogging is finished. Pastor Russ started reading scripture, and I looked at Glennis. I said, he better stop preaching my message. Then they took Jesus to the praetorium, or the headquarters, and the soldiers stripped them. Of course, as a king, he needs a robe. So they put on a scarlet robe, it says. King also needs a crown, which I should have brought with me this morning. I've got a crown of thorns from Israel. They set it on his head because a king needs a crown. King also needs a scepter. So they took a staff and put it in his hand. And then they started kneeling before him and mockingly said, Hail, King of the Jews! Hail, King of the Jews! Then they took the staff and hit him on the head. They spit in his face. I want to let you know this morning that it is finished. That's done. His suffering is done. No more of that. No more scarlet robe. The next robe is going to be a white one. I'm going to be there when he has it on. And he's going to have a name. And it's going to be written down, King of Kings. And Lord of Lords. Amen. I trust you're going to be there as well. So a suffering is done. Isaiah said it. We know the passage of Scripture, Isaiah 53, of the suffering servant. It says this, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." Amen? But I want to let you know this morning that the suffering is now finished. It is finished. But what else was finished? Not only was the suffering finished, I'm going to stick with three S words to make it easy. The sacrifices were finished. The sacrifices were finished. Wow. Matthew records it as this, Matthew 27 and 51. At that moment, when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," at that moment, the curtain or the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The sacrifices were done away with, because in the Old Testament, what happened is that no one was allowed up there. There was a curtain that separated the most holy place from the holy and the holy of holies. And inside of it was the mercy seat or the Ark of the Covenant. And the only person that could go in there was the high priest. And he had to have his black suit and a tie. No, he had to be dressed a certain way. He had to be dressed, he had to be cleansed, and he went in there with blood once a year. And he went in and he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat for the sins of the people. But let me read something to you. The Hebrews chapter 10. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. That's why every year the high priest did the same thing on the Day of Atonement, took the blood of the lamb. Are you with me this morning? Took the blood of a lamb. Remember what John said? "Behold the Lamb of God." So they took the blood of the lamb and they went into the Holy of Holies and they sprinkled the mercy seat where God's Shekinah glory dwelt. They had to keep doing it. And it was a reminder of their sins all the time. And Hebrews continues, but instead of those sacrifices, they actually reminded them of their sins year after year. "For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and of goats to take away sins." Do you hear that? The blood of animals can't take away sins. Continue with me in Hebrews. Interesting. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. The priest could not sit down because he had to stand, because he was busy all the time, because he had to keep offering sacrifices. Interesting. Day after day. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins once, good for all time. Then, he sat down. Because why do I need to stand if my work is done. You know what it's like? Some of you ladies, I got a wife who never sits because her work is never done. She's always picking at something. The only time she sits is when she sits to her sewing machine. And if she sits on the sofa to watch news, she falls asleep. But other than that, she's up going. But once the work is done, the high priest sat down. Are you with me again this morning? Because our high priest is seated. Why? Because his work is done. The sacrifices are done. Amen. For by that one offering he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. Then he says, I will never again remember the sins and lawless deeds. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly. I'm reading the New Living. I could quote some of it from the King James for some of you King James people. Let us come boldly, right? We can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Why? When the curtain, it was torn in two. It was from the top to the bottom, so it was God did it. Because if man did it, they would start at the bottom. And by the way, man could not tear it apart. I can't remember. I was reading somewhere how many yoke of oxen it would take. They couldn't, man couldn't tear it. But it was torn from top to bottom when the words were said, it is finished. Which meant that now anybody has access into the holy place, into the Holy of Holies, because God's presence. We don't have to wait for the high priest now, because it says, let us come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. So now we have access into God's presence. But not only do we have access into God's presence, the veil was torn, which also meant that God now comes out and meets with us. So we bring God with us everywhere, because the Bible also says we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we don't have to wait to come to church to meet with God, because he's with us all the time. You can meet him when you're driving, even if it is a Ford. I drive a Ford, so that's, I can say that. Interesting. Ephesians 2 and 13 says this, but now in Christ Jesus, you were once were far away, have been brought near to the blood of Christ. When Jesus said it is finished, the Greek word means paid in full. Ever have bills? And when you get that note says paid in full, the cry from the cross was a cry of victory. The spotless, sinless Lamb of God paid in full. I don't know. Sometimes our past comes back to haunt us. And the old, it's interesting. I'll get to that in just a second, because the next point I want to make, the third point, so first and foremost, suffering is finished. Sacrifices are finished. I want to tell you the third one is Satan is finished. Satan is defeated. Interesting. He's like a lion that's declawed and his teeth are missing. Interesting that we read in Genesis chapter 3, the story of Adam and Eve. The very first two people. And what happened at the fall, Genesis 3:15 says this, I will put enmity between you. He's talking to the serpent, which is the devil. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. When Jesus cried, it is finished, hell was having a party. But as I said it before, it was Friday. They didn't realize that Sunday was coming. Jesus had just put Satan under his foot and crushed him. And interesting, indeed, Satan is defeated. Let me read what Hebrews 2 and 14 says, since the children of flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him, Satan, who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. He holds the power of death. But it's interesting. Corinthians says the last enemy to be destroyed will be death. We shouldn't have to fear death, because death is just a doorway into heaven. My, oh my, oh my. I'm looking forward to heaven. Now, I don't want to go there today unless we're all going, you understand? I don't, but if it happens, guess what? I just gone ahead of you, and I'll see you tomorrow. I'll see you later, right? Amen? Colossians says this way, you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it by nailing it to the cross. And in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and the authorities. He shamed them publicly by the victory over them on the cross. I notice as I looked at the cross today, it says, Jesus, King of the Jews. Interesting that this passage here, whenever a criminal was crucified, they put a placard of what his sins were or what he was guilty of. Jesus, King of the Jews. Well, Hebrews says he took ours and he nailed it to his cross. All of the sins, let me tell you some of them. Some of you live with past guilt. Abortion, he nailed it to his cross. Fornication, he nailed it to his cross. Cheating, he nailed it to his cross. Alcoholism, he nailed it to his cross. No matter what you were, no matter what the sins were, it was nailed to his cross. And the Word of God says it's going to be remembered against us no more, and that forever. That's what's finished. Satan is finished. Satan is doomed. He's no longer in control. But what's happening is this. Our victory is won. We're just awaiting the final judgment. You realize that in Revelation, it says one of those days, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, which he was called in Job, he came to God the same time as the angels did. And he said, you know, and God said to the accuser of the brethren, have you considered my servant Job? Well, the accuser of the brethren comes to us at times and says, remember? Well, he shows up at heaven, says, too. Can you imagine that we're in heaven? And Satan shows up and he says, well, you know that people down there, they're guilty. And the next thing you know, they've sinned. I'm doomed. So they should be doomed, too. And in walks Jesus. And all of a sudden he says, so if I'm doomed, Jesus just raises his hand. Doesn't even have to speak. Doesn't even have to say, be quiet, because in his hands is a hole where blood was spilled. He said, it's taken care of, paid in full. Amen? So the songwriter said it so beautifully. I have ceased from my wanderings and going astray since Jesus came into my heart, and my sins, which were many, are some. No, the songwriter says they're all washed away. But in case you just think it's just a song, Corinthians says, Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation. I have ceased from my wanderings and going astray since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. Amen. So it is finished. Victory is ours through Jesus Christ. He said, because I live, you shall live also. I ask you this morning, where are you? Where are you this morning? Do you realize that your sins have been paid in full? But the thing is, he offers you a gift this morning, the gift of salvation. My sins, which were many, are all washed away. What's the next part? Since Jesus came into my heart. In other words, Jesus must first come into my heart for my sins to be washed away. I have to accept that invitation which he gives to me. You're here this morning. I don't know all of you. I know some of you, but I don't know where you are in your walk with Jesus Christ. But you're not here by chance. God knew you were going to be here this morning. So I ask you this morning, are your sins washed away? Is it finished? Is it paid in full? Can you cry with God, yes, my sins, with the songwriter, my sins, which were many, are all washed away? If you say no, but today could be your day. Can you imagine? On Good Friday, I gave my heart to the Lord. It's so interesting. We've got a niece who's been bound by drugs for years. Cocaine was the drug of her choice. She spent thousands upon thousands. She's living in Alberta, made thousands and has absolutely nothing to show for the thousands of dollars she made. All she has is a life that was ruined. A life, if you know anything about English, I said a life that was ruined. That's past tense, was. Her life now is a little bit different. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away. In Alberta, it's 2 hours, I believe, and the difference is 25 after 9. Well, this morning, that same girl that was bound by alcohol is going to be sitting at a piano, and she's going to be playing the Via Della Rosa because Jesus Christ came into her life and changed her and cleaned her up. If you're here this morning, I can tell you that, see, that's still a miracle. He's still into the saving business. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away. See, she says, you know, I could be guilty because of all the things that I've done. The enemy tries to convince me that I'm not worthy. And she says, get lost, devil. She says, I am a child of God. I'm his daughter, and he's redeemed me. So it doesn't matter what your past was like. I want to let you know my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. So if you're here this morning, and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is your opportunity. I'm going to ask the men and Glennis to join me. We're going to be singing in just a moment, singing a song for you that goes right along with the message. But I want everyone else to close their eyes just for a moment or two. Maybe you're here this morning, and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you says, yes, I've got many sins. My past, man, it haunts me all the time. But I want to let you know that Jesus Christ can forgive your sins today. And he will change your life completely. And you will be ready for when he comes back. I don't know if that's you this morning. But if you're here this morning and say, Pastor Steve, I need Jesus to change my life. I need him to come into my life and to forgive me. I'm just asking everyone else with their eyes closed, if that's you, just raise your hand. And I'm going to pray with you this morning. I see some hands being raised. We're going to pray together. I want you to pray, everyone in this church, I want you to pray the same prayer that I'm going to pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for taking my sins, bringing them to your cross, and forgiving me. I accept you as my Savior. Please come live inside and be my Lord and Master. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, not with your lips, but with your heart, because you can pray it with your lips, and all it is lip service. But if you prayed it from your heart, welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. Amen. We've got a beautiful song. We're going to try to make it sound beautiful.
Been drawn through the ages.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, that it is finished. Yes. What Jesus did at the cross, it accomplished everything that was needed to satisfy heaven. The blood was paying the price for every last sinner, and that's us. Thank you, God, that we are saved and set free today. Thank you, Lord, that we joined together as churches, Lord. One day we're going to be together with all the churches. Yes. One day we're going to be in glory with all the saints of God, rejoicing over what Jesus paid for us at the cross.
So thank you, Lord. This is a good Friday. It's a good Friday for those who know about the paying of the price. It's a good Friday for those who realized and accepted the payment of that price. Thank you, Lord God, that we can walk in that salvation. We can walk in victory and knowing that it is finished. So God, on this good Friday, go with us. May we just rejoice all day long and bring us back to the house of God in our respective churches to rejoice because the grave is empty. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you've done for us.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you. We praise you. We honor you. Go with us now in the wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless.